Welcome. Welcome. We're going to get started. Hey, Lisa. So Coach Lisa is here in the chat. Hi, I am Coach Julie. We are talking about body image and sex tonight. Coach Lisa will be in the chat with you. If you have questions for me that I will hopefully get to, please put them in the Q&A. If you want to interact with Lisa in the chat, that's great. And she also may be answering some questions in the Q&A, depending on what we are able to get to together. So, just a hot second about me for those of you who don't know, I am Novia's Coach Julie. Of course, as all the coaches, I am Life Coach School trained and No BS Advanced Certified trained in weight loss. But then I went on to get two different certifications in sex and relationship work and somatics. And I work one-on-one with No BS women on all of those topics, taking big ass action, sex and relationships, and weight loss. And you see me in Ask Coaches, some in Facebook, and of course with my one-on-one clients. Welcome all. Welcome. So we're going to open with a couple of things today around pleasure. So make sure you set your chat to everyone, please, so that we can all see your genius. Coach Lisa is in all caps. Now, I know I'm here on screen, but Lisa has a lot of experience with this topic too. And if I were going to take some of my challenges sexually, she would be someone I would trust and share with and trust her answers. So I just want you to know both of us are here for you tonight. And I look forward to coaching. In a minute, we'll have you raise hands. But for right now, I want to talk to you first about pleasure in general, and then we will talk about creative visualization for sexual pleasure. So, okay, body image, weight loss, and pleasure. How are these even tied together? So, your body image are the thoughts you have about your body, and they can significantly impact your like feelings and experience related to sex. So, if you spend all day every day judging your body, it's not a surprise that you don't feel super excited when it comes to the bedroom. So, if a woman has a positive body image, she might feel more confident, comfortable, and empowered during a sexual encounter. On the other hand, if she has a negative body image, it's very common that that can lead to self-consciousness, anxiety, decreased sexual satisfaction. But also, honestly, decrease sexual desire because you don't want to put yourself in a position where you're being exposed and you're feeling embarrassment and shame about the size of your body. So, confidence and self-acceptance can play a crucial role in a woman's sexual wellness, well-being, regardless of any body size. So, it stands to reason then to ask, well, who deserves pleasure then? Does a certain size bodied person deserve more or less pleasure than someone else? And I think I'm sure you know the no BS answer to this. Every person, regardless of your body size or shape, deserves pleasure, happiness, and fulfillment in their life, including their sexual life. So, body size should not determine a person's worth or their right to experience pleasure or engage in fulfilling sexual relationships. But it starts with like promoting body positivity with yourself, practicing actively self-acceptance, stepping back from harmful stereotypes or judgments based on your body size. Also, like, all the topics we have talked about a little bit each month, consent, respect, healthy communication, all are like key aspects of any satisfying and fulfilling sexual experience. And that really just applies to every body type. But why does body image have anything to do with pleasure at all? So there's three important components to beginning to experience sexual pleasure at any size. So the first one is self-acceptance, because that creates your comfortable feeling and accepting of your own body. Embrace your body as it is. And then that reduces self-consciousness. Communication is the second. And it's like open, honest communication with you first, you. Then maybe with a partner. Discuss desires, boundaries, and concerns. Create a safe, enjoyable sexual experience. But you first. Your partner is secondary. So, and then the third most important connection between like experiencing sexual pleasure and working through your body image work is exploration and self-knowledge. So taking the time to explore your own body through self-touch, through visualization, understanding what feels pleasurable to you. And then again, sharing this information if you have a partner, but really just being really honest with yourself about it. So these three components lay a foundation for a positive and fulfilling sexual journey, and they promote self-confidence and trust and understanding, which is essential in your experience with sexual pleasure. But it's also, if you think about it, those are the same factors that are important in weight loss too. Trusting yourself, understanding yourself, really just allowing yourself to like get curious and experiment. So this is literally a practice, just like practicing sitting with an urge, just like practicing doable hunger, like eating when hungry, stopping it enough. You could use, this is like doable sexual hunger, like allowing pleasure when you're hungry for it and like having boundaries in place that like stop at enough when you don't. So just keep that in mind as you kind of think about sex and your body the way it is today and pleasure in general. So, but where do you begin? Like with an emoji, how many of you are having like fulfilling, pleasurable sexual experiences right now? I got one thumb, couple. Okay. So there's like way more of you on this call than are emojiing. Okay. So I know that I shared a little of my story with you and I'll share like 1 second of it again here now, but like I would not have emojied a few years ago before I went through this transformation for myself. I would not have emojied. I was terrified to be naked, alone, or with a partner, right? I've been with my partner for 25 years, terrified to be naked in front of my partner, totally willing to give up on pleasure, to not have to face my own naked body. That's the truth of it. I was willing to give up on my own personal pleasure because I didn't want to have to deal with the reality of what I saw in the mirror. I know I'm not alone. I know there's some of you on this call right now that are feeling the same way. But I just want you to know, like, pleasure at any size can be amazing. And when you step into curiosity, much like in weight loss, willing to try things, willing to experiment, willing to laugh with yourself or with a partner. When I was willing to laugh at myself, like searching for a pleasure zone for where to put the vibrator. Sure, we all know clitoris, right? Like it's this button, but not everybody gets tons of pleasure with direct stimulation from that, right? So like, trying to find places, things I couldn't reach, or positions I couldn't get into. But instead of judging that around weight, being willing to laugh about it, knowing that like at any size, it might not be easy for someone to get into a position. At any size, you might not be able to reach something. Or you might not know how to pleasure that part of you. So one thing I learned is a creative visualization. We're going to do it here now, and then we're going to coach. So I want you to imagine visualizing you sexually satisfied, experiencing pleasure. So a creative visualization is a powerful technique that can help you open yourself up, open your mind up. And in this case, we're going to focus it on pleasure, but open your mind up to pleasure by focusing your thoughts and your intentions on what you want to achieve and experience. So I'm going to give you a little outline for how you can do this for yourself. And then you can watch, you can listen in the replay or on the podcast. So what you would start with is getting yourself prepared to do a creative visualization. So find a quiet and comfortable place where you won't be disturbed. And you can sit or lie down in a relaxed position. I kind of recommend both feet on the ground, but it's okay if you don't want to. So before you begin, take a moment to set a clear intention for your visualization practice. So this can work for anything, but we're talking about sexual pleasure right now. So decide what you want to achieve in the sexual pleasure realm of any kind. I'm going to give you some ideas. Maybe you just want to achieve arousal, or you want to have an orgasm again after a really long time or for the first time. Maybe you want to try a position you haven't been willing to try, too scared. Maybe you want to be on top for the first time or try oral sex for the first time. Or maybe you haven't had penetration for years and you want to try that again. So decide what it is that you are wanting to focus on. And so then now you're prepared to start the visualization. So I want you to begin by taking a few deep breaths to relax your body and calm your mind. It will be like inhale deeply through your nose 2 to 4 seconds. Hold for 2 to 4 seconds. Exhale slowly through your mouth for 2 to 4 seconds. And then hold in that exhalation for 2 to 4 seconds. And then repeat that 2 to 3 times. So now we're ready to begin. I want you to close your eyes and imagine that you're sitting in front of a movie theater screen. You're in the movies. You're the only person in the theater. Stand up and walk down the aisle and up the stairs onto the stage and go right into the movie screen. So now you're the star of the movie. It's you and your own pleasure experience. And you're also sitting in the seat still watching the movie of your experience. So you yourself are experiencing the movie from the first person perspective, and you're also watching the movie from the third person perspective. So I want you to start with visualizing your body. Begin your visualization of your body and like, notice, are you naked? Are you wearing a t-shirt? Are you wearing something sexy or alluring? How do you feel in it? Is the room dark or light? Is there a lamp on? Is it dim? What kind of light is it? Is it colored light? Is the light reflecting off your body? What does your skin look like? Are your cheeks flushed? Is there a bead of dew on your forehead or your upper lip? Picture yourself preparing for your sexual encounter with yourself, with your wife, with your lover, with someone you've never met before, with your husband. Visualize yourself feeling pleasure, satisfaction. Notice the look on your face. Your hair all disheveled? Is it falling on your shoulders? Are your eyes rolling back in your head? Just notice. What exactly are you doing? Let your eyes land on the position you're in. Are you trying something new? Is it an old standby? How does your body feel? What motions are happening? What part of your body is feeling pleasure, and where's it coming from inside your body? What does it feel like in your body? Is there a color associated with it? I just want you to take a breath and focus on you and the sensations in your body. Visualize yourself successfully taking your pleasure to the highest heights, whatever that is. See yourself riding the waves of sensation, feeling the sensations for the first time in places you never have before, or in places you haven't for a long time. Visualize the pleasure without any body judgment. Imagine your satisfaction and the sense of ownership and deserving and entitlement and rapture all wrapped into one. The abundance of that washes through you. The endless possibilities of pleasure for you washes through you. It's all so clear in your movie. Now, as the movie's coming to an end, watch the last reel of the movie. The end comes up on the screen, and simultaneously you step out of the movie, and the lights in the theater are slowly coming up while you're walking back down the stairs and down the aisle to sit down in the seat where you are also sitting watching the movie. Only now, as you sit down and rejoin yourself, you're a living embodiment of your pleasure today, now. And then when you're ready, slowly bring your awareness back to the present moment. Take some deep breaths and open your eyes. No sudden movements. Like, just allow yourself to settle and breathe. And this is the moment for positive intentions. Carry the positive energy and intentions from your visualization into the moment. Remind yourself of what's possible based on that visualization that you used. And make a conscious effort to manifest those in your actions and your thoughts. When the time is right, there's no pressure. It doesn't have to be that night. You might do this a dozen times before you act on it. By incorporating a creative visualization practice, like, into your life, you can set a positive tone for pleasure and, like, increase your chances of experiencing the kind of pleasure that you might be desiring. And really, I mean, visualization can literally help you harness the power of your mind to create, like, more positive, fulfilling life experiences, no matter what they are. But of course, I want them to be more positive sexual and personal experiences. So, all right. That is your pleasure focus for the night. If you would like to be coached on anything associated with body image, sex, relationships, this is your night. Raise your hand. I am here for you. And we are going to... Okay, I'm going to answer a Q&A while I'm waiting for a hand. Terry asks, will this stuff be talked about during body image camp? Lots of things will be talked about during body image camp. This and so much more. Literally, Terry, it is the revolution of stopping waiting for us to get to a goal weight to, like, experience anything positive associated with your body and your life. There's no reason to wait. At No BS, we go for it while we're working towards our goal. Valerie just asked a question. I've never had an orgasm with someone else in the room. I'm almost 55, married for 12 years. Husband said that it is my own problem. Okay. Well, okay. Husband's not totally wrong, but let's reframe it. It is true that it's can be difficult for a partner to pleasure you if you don't know how to pleasure you. So although I wouldn't call it your own problem, Valerie, I definitely would say getting to know your own body and experimenting with the possibility probably does make sense so that you can show him what you like. And so that would start, I would literally start by first getting comfortable touching your own body. So maybe in the shower, that's a great place to start. And just notice all your own personal nooks and crannies and crevices, what your body feels like, and like what your erogenous zones are. Where do you like to be touched? Like in your inner thigh or on your breast? Do you like your nipples pinched? How do you know some of those things? And those things turn on other things. So I want you to explore your own body and get to know where your own pleasure comes from. And then you might try a vibrating toy. There's like rumbly ones and there's kind of buzzy ones. And some of them have a very strong motion and are a little louder. Some of them have a little bit less strong motion, a little quieter. But I do want you to experiment and see if you can create it for you first. Then you can bring husband into the mix. But truly, he can't know if you don't know. All right. Mary Elizabeth, I'm going to bring you up. Oh, you might have put your hand down. Raise your hand if you want to be coached. I will bring you up. What do you think you should consider before getting tummy tuck and breast lift? If I think I am at a weight that is staying the same. I'm not sure I know what your question is. I think you should think about like all the facets of your body and like, are you ready to make that choice? Like, are you done working on your weight? I do know most of the time when you're about to have some work done, they will ask you if you're done. If you're like done, been in maintenance for a while at no BS, done the maintenance course and like really settled in, then maybe it's time. But I would say there are some things about sexuality you should think about. So for example, breast lifts sometimes have an impact on nipple sensation. If you enjoy the pleasure you get from your nipples, I would highly recommend you talk to your doctor about the likelihood of losing that sensation or the sensation being affected. All right. Mary Elizabeth, bringing you back up. Okay. Maybe Mary Elizabeth, you've got your hand going kind of up and down. So I'm going to move on to an anonymous attendee's question. But raise your hand to get coached on any topic around body image, weight loss, sex, relationships. Anonymous said, I've literally been celibate for over 14 years, and I cannot even think about having sex or enjoying any pleasure from it, even for myself. I've been working on this with a therapist as there is sexual trauma, but I like what was said about pleasure. How can I experience pleasure in my body that is not about food or sex? Sex is truly off the table for me at this time. Like, I have no sex drive. What are things that I can do to have some pleasure in my body right now? This is so beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing this, because you don't have to want to have sex ever. So I totally support you. Some things you can do for pleasure in your body. Not wanting sexual pleasure doesn't mean you don't want physical pleasure. So that could mean nakedness in the most luxurious fuzzy blanket. It has nothing to do with sexual stimulation and everything to do with the sensations on your skin. It could be a very yummy product that smells amazing. It could be a rain shower head in the shower that creates all kinds of sensations on your body. It could be one of those rain massages where you get a massage while it's raining on your body, or any kind of massage. It literally could be almost anything. Like, I bought one of those hot rock kits. Like, if you get a pedicure and you buy like a deluxe pedicure, sometimes they do the hot rocks and the wax on your feet. And I bought one of those hot rocks kits and I heat it up and I hot rock my own feet and hands, really, because you're holding the rocks. It's luxurious. It feels amazing. I think you cannot go wrong with experimenting with like ways to create body pleasure and comfort. Those are a few. If you want a long list of them from me, please go to Ask Coaches Attention Me, and I will give it to you in Ask Coaches. And Carol, I'm going to bring you up. Oh my gosh, yes. So, Kristen, I'm not sure if that's how you say your name, but basking in the sunshine. I cannot agree more. Sunshine on skin feels luxurious. So, okay, Carol, hi, welcome.
Hi. I'm a little nervous asking my question, but my husband and I are in our 60s, and we've had some health issues, the both of us. Mm-hmm. One of the things that's been difficult, and we've always had a very healthy sexual relationship, is my husband's really had some issues with erectile dysfunction. Mm-hmm. And I've had some gynecological surgery, which makes intercourse kind of painful. Mm-hmm. However, I have had no issues with, you know, receiving pleasure through oral sex. But my concern, I guess, is I don't want to be the center of attention the whole time. And it seems like it ends up going that direction, because whether he can or can't is pretty much, it's pretty limited. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I'm able to receive pleasure, and I mean, it feels amazing, but I'm really not comfortable with it always being about me. And then mm-hmm. there's also the whole idea that I'm not crazy about how my body looks. Mm-hmm. And I mean, my husband thinks I look amazing. I mean, it's not him, it's me. And so yeah. I'm just trying to figure out, like, how do we, because to me, sex does not have to be always about intercourse, but that seems to be like, can we just, you know, lay next to each other and, you know, be intimate that way, and not, it doesn't always to me have to be about intercourse, but it seems like it does need to be. If it's not that, then all of a sudden it's about me. And I don't know exactly how to, I don't want to say no, because that's what he wants. But it makes me uncomfortable in both of those two aspects.
That's so interesting. Let's talk about it a little bit here together. So he's good with focusing on you, and you actually do like it, but you have thoughts mm-hmm. that like you're getting too much attention. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But is that actually true? I want to rephrase that. Like,
yeah,
he's happy focusing on you, and you really like the pleasure. So what's the problem exactly? Mm-hmm.
It feels like, let's see, how do I want to explain this? It sort of feels like I'm the center of attention, and I feel like I'm like almost on display, if that makes any sense at all.
It totally does.
I don't want it to be like that all the time.
So it totally does. And I, like, before we keep talking, I just want to
validate. Performing.
Yeah. I want to validate you. When a man has erectile dysfunction and he's kind of gotten over it enough that like, it's not the be all end all. And so like, there becomes like, oh, there's like a moment of success with that. And then all of a sudden that's not working. So then like the focus shifts, and with a fairly loving partner, oftentimes the focus will intensely shift onto you, but that's because he has thoughts mm-hmm. that you're not getting satisfied.
Right. So it's like, if the other, you know, aspect isn't going to work, then we shift right into I'm performing, and that's what it feels like. And And I'm not liking it. I mean, it's wonderful, but
Well,
I'm self-conscious about it.
yeah. So that's the interesting part is like you actually really do like what you're receiving and you are capable of that level of pleasure. But simultaneously, your brain has these thoughts that I'm on display, I'm performing, it's all about me. But is that really true though? Like, this is that moment in No BS where we get to question our thinking. Like, he's really happy and you like it too. So
Yeah.
is anything really going wrong if you could quiet your mind a little bit?
No, it's just I feel guilty that I'm not able to pleasure him to reach, satisfaction. And I feel like, okay, is there something else I can do? Like, how can I make you feel better? You know, how can I please you? And it ends up being, you're pleasing me by letting me please you. And I just need to kind of overcome that. You know what I mean? I mean, it's kind of, I don't know. I'm not always, wanting it to be about me.
Yes.
It needs to be about both of us, I guess. And it doesn't feel like that, though. Maybe it is. And I just need to get over that.
Well, I think both. Like, I do agree you could decide that it is about both of you. Like, he really does. Like, if he can't do it with his penis, which he, of course, thinks is the be-all, end-all, if he can't do it that way, then he really, like, has a drive to do it this other way. So 50% of the time, you could try to think of that. Yes. But there's some room here. Like, in an ideal world, what do you think could be possible? Is he open? Like, do you think, are you open? Is he open to like finding other ways of pleasuring him sexually or connecting? Like, if it weren't about him actually having an orgasm, how much pleasure can he derive from your encounters? And what else is possible?
I mean, and that is happening. I mean, what we're doing does feel good to him. He just can't, get to the end there. So and I know he feels self-conscious about that as well.
Yeah.
You know, and then I'm still concerned that my body doesn't look the way it used to.
Yeah.
But he's okay with it and I'm not.
Yeah.
Neither
So
one of us have perfect bodies, but
but let's talk about that. So your body doesn't look the way it used to. I mean, so you might, I'm going to ask you what you mean, but I want to just start with like, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing that would make, like, how long have you been with him?
We've been married for 10 years, but we've been together for over 20.
Okay. Together 20 years. I'm pretty sure there's nothing that could have like stopped time to keep you looking exactly the same. So tell me, what's the problem with how you look now?
I think part of it is I can definitely feel my age. I'm at that point where now I'm really, I can really see the age more than I ever used to. And I've tried to, I think one of the things that's important to me is to keep myself as healthy as possible, to try to look as, for him, as possible. And so it's like, there's only so much you can do. And so it's just a matter of my own insecurity about how I look. Cause I've been over 100 pounds more than I am right now. And, some of that didn't completely go away when I lost my weight. You would think that I had had 5 children or something because of, some of the belly, residual, I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah.
But it's still kind of, I'm still really self-conscious on it. And so I need to kind of try to get past that because he doesn't care. It's not him, it's me.
Yeah. So tell me about the types of things you've tried, not necessarily to get past it, but to face it, let's say. Like, what kinds of things are you telling yourself other than seeing kind of the negative side of it? But you're doing pretty good with that, right? Like, I don't hear like the Miss Nasty harsh voice, but certainly.
You're cutting up a little bit on me, but.
Sorry about that. What kinds of things have you tried telling yourself to work through your thoughts about your body?
I've really kind of tried to remind myself of how active I am, how hard I've worked to lose my weight, and just try to be creative with things and try to be really comfortable and let myself go and just kind of be present when we're together and not really focus on that particular aspect. It takes a little bit, but the other part of it is that the times that we're together physically kind of become far and few between on at different points in time. You know, it could be a few months, and I need to do something about that as well. I mean, I think I need to initiate that more.
I mean, if you were more comfortable with yourself, though, my guess is you'd be a little more open to initiating it or receiving if he initiates, right? So everything you said you're doing is like a step towards self-acceptance. My guess is you've practiced the negative thinking so much more than you've practiced like positively accepting yourself. And there's a way, there's really a way to do both, Carol. Like it's, I see myself in the mirror. I'm halfway to my goal. I've lost 90 pounds. There's things hanging in places I wasn't expecting things to hang. Mm-hmm. And at the same time,
exactly. It's like,
but the pleasure is so worth it, right? Like the joy, the connection, the excitement of it. There is so much value there that it's like the practice of setting it aside. It's like there's plenty of time to judge if you want to judge. But the moment you're in it is not the time, right? It's like, I'm going to find the way to find the way to lay the way that feels the best or wear the thing that feels the best. But ultimately, like the connection and pleasure is worth the little bit of discomfort in your head about your body.
Right. I've had to learn to kind of just let myself go, you know, to just kind of let things happen and to just, because then it can be completely amazing. But it's, you know, for me, it's hard to initiate when you don't know whether, you know, being able to perform or not is, you know, there. And I feel like that's one of the reasons why I hold back, is because you don't want to start something that can't be finished or, you know, on either end. And so that makes it difficult to, and I think we just need to talk about it a little bit. And we do, but trying to actually set more time aside so that months don't go by and this doesn't happen.
What if you guys gave yourself permission to just set the goal of being together, however that is, without the expectation of ejaculation or orgasm or penetration? Like those things are off the table. They're not a goal. But pleasure, you giving him pleasure until he doesn't feel pleasured, allowing him to pleasure himself with you there. Like if he can get himself to fruition, like turning the focus on him and like supporting him getting himself to fruition.
Yep.
Like mutual masturbation, absolutely. Right? Like allowing him to see, like let him see you pleasure you so that he understands you're okay if he wants to do that with you. That like you would rather him experience it than not at all.
Yeah. And we do that. I mean, I try to be really open to things that I might not have thought about years ago. But it's just a challenge the older you get to try to figure out, like, how do you make this happen? How do you not feel like you're, you know, pressuring someone, you know, who's may have to try to work their way into being, you know, with you.
Answer that question for yourself so that you kind of like ground it. Like, how do you ask for what you need or want and not pressure someone?
Mm-hmm.
How would you
so,
do that?
I think that we just need to have a conversation about how to initiate. And if it's something that he doesn't want or doesn't think, you know, tonight's not the night, it's okay for him to say no.
Yep.
And I need to be okay with that and not feel rejected. But also just kind of understand. I mean, I'm trying to be understanding,
yeah,
you know, that there's things that don't work on either one of us, but it's definitely something that I think we can have a conversation about it. And I think that actually the more often that we are together, the easier it is. But
yes,
once lots of time goes by, then all of a sudden it becomes like, oh my God, you know,
yes,
we have to try to get this started all over again.
Yes. And words, like, you know how we have the like vacation protocol in No BS for like eating? This is the same thing. You guys could come up with an initiation protocol. What is okay for you? What is okay for him? What are agreed upon things? Like, what are you gonna decide that it means if he says no or vice versa? And like, how, what's acceptable? You guys both might find that a little innuendo throughout the day or texting each other, even if you're in the same space, like building it up so that like, this is not just a moment in the bedroom where someone's saying yes or no, but it's literally like some innuendo throughout the day. And it's like, I'm not feeling it. And like you said, you have some personal like vaginal pain. I'm going through a little of that right this minute myself. And that just turns off like all the stuff. Like I'm literally like, it's a no. Like, but you know
oh,
what?
The pain can be terrible. Yeah, the pain can be terrible. And my husband does have some medication. Sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. You know, it doesn't always, you know, it might start things, but it doesn't necessarily finish things. But the dryness, I mean, I've been through menopause quite a long time ago, but and I've had different types of medications, you know, an estrogen replacement to kind of keep things, you know, from being too dry. But it's kind of, when it does hurt, it kind of stops everything.
Yeah, I get it. And like that type of community, like, you know, he doesn't want to hurt you. So like the communication, like, I'm just uncomfortable. It's a no right now. Like, thank you for trying, but like, no, I'm uncomfortable. But that there again, with a little protocol, it's like, but what would feel good? Maybe that's a moment you don't want to be alone. Maybe you want your naked body stroked. Maybe that's a great time to get out the hot rocks or the hot oil or something where you guys stay intimate, but it doesn't focus on like your vulva, your vagina, your genitalia, right? Like, literally, there are so many ways to connect with someone that don't have anything to do with like traditional body parts that are identified as sexual body parts.
Right. And when it has hurt, it's, I mean, I've gotten very emotional about it because I feel horrible. It's like we kind of, you know, get things started. It's not a matter of not wanting to, it's like, this really hurts. So then it's
and
kind of,
like, that's just really that pre-conversation that's not during any sort of sexual encounter where you just define it and like, I want to keep initiating. I don't want you to stop initiating. I want to keep trying. I want to keep connecting. And sometimes it's going to work and sometimes it isn't. It has nothing to do with you. Basically, I'm always totally aroused and like, I still may not want to do it. And I want to keep trying always.
And I just need to keep doing it. It really helps to kind of like say this all out loud, actually.
Yes.
Because it's hard in the moment to kind of like put the brakes on something. And all of a sudden it's like,
Yes.
Well, that was great. That was great, but I guess we're going to stop right now.
Yeah, your power is in pre-setting it up for both of you. Like, in even saying, you know, right away when things don't work perfectly for you, we jump right to me. I'm open to trying other things with you, like other things that might give you pleasure sexually, but maybe just intimate pleasure. So like, what else are you open to that we can keep focusing on you sometimes? Are we frozen? Are we frozen, everyone? Did I freeze? I'm sorry.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
We are having the storm of the century where I live. The storm of the century where I live. I think we've had 5 inches of rain in a few days. Sorry.
Oh, I guess I'm freezing up for people too, but.
Okay. Okay. So Carol.
So that's really helpful. I think that having that pre-conversation and really kind of talking about if this happens, then we go to plan B. Yeah. I'm always about, alternative plans. And I think that that's something I need to be more comfortable doing and kind of setting expectations.
Yeah.
So that, you know, neither one of us are disappointed and not letting things go too long before, you know, we feel like we can be together again. Because that is the problem. It's like months can go by. And I think that's the primary reason. It's because neither one of us thinks that this isn't the time physically that we can actually accomplish this.
Yeah. Well, you've got some homework, right? It's very clear some of the things you're working on, especially the pre-conversation, and also figuring out if there's anything around his pleasure that you guys can focus on him and working about on getting out of your own head.
Yep.
And like sort of pre-planning, I urge you to experiment with calendaring, at least for you, right? You said you want to initiate more.
Okay.
You could pop a calendar reminder for yourself, like once a week, like, is today the day for me to initiate? And like, you know, if today's not the day, roll the appointment over to tomorrow.
I mean, when I was in my 20s, it was like, it didn't matter.
Yeah.
Always ready all the time. But now that we're older, it's a little bit. And people that are older still want to have, you know.
Yes.
Want to have sex. So.
Yes.
That's helpful.
All right. Let me know if you like come to ask coaches
yeah.
attention me. If
so,
you need
appreciate
support.
It.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I'll see you soon. Okay.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. Okay.
Okay, I'm putting you back to attendee. And then someone is piggybacking on Carol's question and says, similar situation here, but I do not like the substitute activities to intercourse. And then he avoids intercourse and I get frustrated. Well, of course, right? Like if you don't like the other things and his member is not functioning, it is going to be uncomfortable. My recommendation there is like, there's literally nothing he can do unless he takes the medication. And even that is not foolproof. So there's nothing he can do. So having a favorite dildo, a favorite toy that you can like, when it's not working for him, you guys can sub in the toy for penetration to take you to fruition. But I would ask you, Anonymous, to like question your frustration. Like the human being that's partnered with you's body doesn't function the way that satisfies you. How can you make it work if you want to stay connected to that person? That's what I would ask you. Like, find a substitute that does work, a substitute for penetration, so you still experience it. And then what do you want to offer to your partner? So, Susan, I love all these suggestions, but how do I make peace with loose skin? It's starting to bother me more. So make peace with it, meaning you have a negative thought or feeling about it, Susan. So how to change thinking about anything? Like, my recommendation with using, because you have the no BS tools, would be to use the 4N new belief process, which is a 4-step process to like working on creating new beliefs, changing your mindset, and like first normalizing that you have the like thoughts that you have about your skin. So you didn't say what you're thinking about them, but you have a desire to make peace with them. So I assume you're not super happy with them. So it's like, notice what you think about them. Just kind of like notice your thoughts about the skin. And then normalizing is this process of like, just accepting why you think that way. It's like, for me, I said it earlier, right? Some, you know, after 90 pounds, some things are hanging in places that I never thought things would hang. And I kind of said it jokingly, but I mean it. That's the work I'm talking about. It's like, there was a time where I saw my stomach and I was like, disgusting. I can remember it. I can hear my voice. Disgusting. Then I was like, man, I gained that weight when I fell and I lost the use of my right hand and I became disabled. And the only tool I had for coping was food. Thank God I had a coping tool. I'm so grateful. And the only reason I have hanging skin now is because I developed new coping tools. And now I cope in other ways and I give myself what I really need instead of food. And so once you kind of get settled with a truth, like normalizing your thinking, then we just neutralize it down to like the most basic facts. Like, you have loose skin. It's just skin. And then that's where like those three steps, like really focus on those. And then we create a next best thought that we want to think. And I think where so many no BS women go wrong, and I see this with my private clients all the time, is they think like, well, I want to love myself. I want to love my skin. Like, well, you may never love loose skin. So a next best is literally like, maybe it's 1% next best, like 1% better than the crappy thought you have. So like when I was like, I'm disgusting, the only thing I could say to myself is, I'm going to learn how to be a woman that accepts her body the way it is at any given time. That didn't feel very positive. It's like, I'm going to learn how to be this person that does this thing. But at the same time, it was a little bit of relief from the disgusting. So it's like, I'm going to learn how to do this. I'm going to practice doing this. I'm going to practice accepting myself. You don't ever have to get to a place where I love loose skin. It's like, but I love my life. I love my life's journey. And this is just part of it. It's just skin. It isn't a measure of my actual life or my worth or my value, but it is a measure of my history. It is evidence that I've overcome something very big. It is evidence that I was worth my own best effort and that I was figuring it out. It's evidence that I had success in weight loss, and it's going to hang even more when I have more success in weight loss. I would start there, Susan. It's just a process. It's a practice. We forget the judgment. It's not real. There are thoughts you have about your body. So you could just as easily think other ways about your body. But the reason it's not easy is because you haven't practiced it. Yeah, Susan said, I'm trying to remind myself of all those things that I was just talking about. And I think I'm more self-conscious because I'm thinking about dating again. Yes. Yes. I get it. And Susan, let's be real. You are going to experience some judgment from people, but not your people, not your person. Now, maybe you just want to date and you're not looking for a life partner. And that's great. You're going to find people who like you the way you are. And you're going to find people who don't. I promise you both are true. My own partner found me incredibly sexy at 350 pounds and finds me incredibly sexy 90 pounds down, and I still want to lose another 70 or 80, I'm pretty sure he's going to find me incredibly sexy then too. Now, do I have to understand that? Do I have to agree with him? No, I don't. But it's possible. It's possible to believe that your person, everyone who's here, whether it's a woman or a man, whether you want to just go out and have a million one-nighters or you're looking for a 50-year relationship, none of those are any better than any other relationship. They're just the one you want to have. You can do that in the body you have now with your person, or if it's multiple people, with your multiple people. It doesn't matter. They're out there. You just have to believe it first for you. You have to find that in you first, so that when you're interacting with your people, it's like shows up. So, okay, we have about 5 minutes left. So you're welcome, Susan. If there are more questions, or if someone wants to do a quickie coaching, whatever, I am here for it. I want you to know, you loving and accepting yourself. Like someone asked earlier about May Camp, Body Love Camp. Corinne is trying to start a revolution of self-acceptance. There is a way to love yourself exactly how you are today, exactly how you are, and want to change your life and your body at the same time. We do this every day. We do this every day. I was incredibly satisfied as a single person, and then I met my partner and decided, being married to that person sounds pretty great. I know so many women who were happy in their marriages and then were like, maybe a baby would be good. I know people who absolutely love their home and still are curious about moving to a new city. I know people who love their job and are so satisfied and make good money and still want to experience something new and grow and change. You do not have to hate your body to do the work we're doing here. You can want to lose weight and make changes and love yourself and have incredible pleasure and sex and all of that right now in the body you have. This is like my personal mission. You know how Corinne wants you all to like lose your weight permanently for the last time? And I'm all in on that with her. Like my personal mission is for you to understand, like in the body you have right now, this size, you get to have pleasure. It doesn't have to be sexual pleasure. If you want it to be sexual pleasure, you get that too. You deserve it now. There's no ideal body for it. You were made to have it. Now's the time. Don't wait. You're worth it today. I promise you, you're worth it today. I just want you to think about that for a minute. You are worth it today. I see it in you. I've got your back. Do you have it? Please, for one day, everyone on this call, I challenge you for 24 hours. If you are working on weight loss, focus on doable hunger. Stopping it enough. And while you're doing that, if you are interested in working on body image and sex and relationships, like practice telling yourself once an hour tomorrow, I love you. You're worth it right now, the way you are. I love you. Give yourself what you need. Everyone who's willing to take the challenge, emoji me right now. 24 hours. I love you. You're worth it right now in the body you're in. Thank you. Thank you. And every one of you can find me and ask coaches if you have a question or you need coaching on anything, frankly, but sex and relationships obviously is like my passion. Coach Lisa is in Facebook more than I am a little bit, I think, but like literally you can find her anywhere too. We are here for you. If you want to tag me in Facebook, Julie Hanks, no BS, Coach Julie Hanks, and tell me about your 24 hours. What did you do for doable hunger? And how did you practice actively loving and accepting yourself today? Thank you, Coach Lisa. Thank you all so much for being here. It is an honor to be in this membership with you all. Good night.